I have a purpose in doing that, and hopefully it'll be clear in just a few moments. But I want to say thank you, first of all, for you, Jasper First Baptist Church, for allowing me to come and be with you for these few months that I've been here. And I just want to say it's been absolutely fun. Now, I don't know if it's always been fun for all of us, but it's been fun. Anytime that I'm with a church that I really sense loves the Word of God, it just absolutely fires me up. And I appreciate that most about you is that you have a deep, deep love for the Word of God. This is God's Word. This is the authoritative Word of God. There's not one error in here. There's not even the mixture of error in this Word. And I appreciate and thank the Lord for your stance upon the Word of God. And I was telling Pastor John this morning, I firmly believe, once we can get Pastor Greg in place, I firmly believe that it's going to be Katie bar the door. This place is going to explode. You're going to see people coming to faith in Christ. You're going to see this community transform because of a church that, first of all, loves Jesus Christ, loves His Word, and loves their community. You've already displayed that in so many different ways. And so I just believe that you're going to have to make room for folks because this is absolutely going to be full. And but that's a headache that you'll have to figure out, not me. I've been there, brother. I've been there, I tell you. Well, I know that probably in these few months, I probably have said something to offend someone, but I'm convinced that you cannot preach the Word of God, and every once in a while, it upsets someone. I remember hearing the story about a pet shop owner. He put his birds out in front of his store one morning, and these were talking birds, and he thought that maybe would help him sell some stuff. And so he put his birds out in front of his store one morning, and a lady was walking by, and one of the birds hollered out, "Hey, lady." And she looks over at that bird, and she says, "What?" He says, "You're ugly." Later that same afternoon, the same bird is out there in front of the store, and the same lady walks by, and the bird hollers out, "Hey, lady." She looks over at him, eyes him real mean, and she says, "What?" He says, "You're ugly." Well, she gets so mad, she storms into the pet shop. She looks at the owner and says, "Your bird is calling me ugly. If he calls me ugly one more time, I'm going to sue you." And so he gets agitated, gets so mad, he goes out there to the bird. He takes the lady with him, and he says to that bird, he says, "Bird, you see this lady? If you call her ugly one more time, I'm going to kill you." Next morning, the bird's out in front of the store, just like they were the day before. The same lady walks by, and the bird hollers out, "Hey, lady." She looks over at him real mean, and she says, "What?" He looks back at her, and he says, "You know what?" I'm certain that I've said something to offend folks. But I just want you to know, don't blame the messenger, okay? Don't blame the messenger. I love your pastors. I love Pastor John, and I love your senior pastor, Pastor Greg. Do you love your pastors? Amen. You better say amen, or I'm going to keep you till 1 o'clock. Amen. Amen. I'm going to bring a message today talking about the man of God. And I almost had this thought that I may ask you guys to remove yourself, but I think you can handle it. These guys are humble. They're the kind of guys I wish we had in every single one of our Southern Baptist churches in Tennessee. I wish we could clone you guys. I really do. I wish we could clone them. Because I've met some doozies. I've met some doozies. I'll just be honest with you. I've met some doozies. And I can say that because I is one. I can say that, okay? And that's one of the reasons why I wanted Pastor Greg in particular to be down here. I didn't want you to all be looking at him when I'm making these points, okay? So that's why I've excused the choir to be in the in the uh, in the auditorium this morning and to be here with you. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And of course, we're moving to verse 17 of 1 Timothy chapter 5. In verse 17. Just three simple points this morning, but I hope this brings clarity to all of us in regards to whom God has called to serve as pastors. Let me just make a statement, and I'm going to make this, reiterate this in just a moment. When you voted in that time of business, the session, when you called Pastor Greg to be your senior pastor, again, I just want to emphasize, you were not voting, or you were not voting your opinion, and you were not hiring Pastor Greg as your pastor. What you were saying in that vote was, we believe that God has called this man to this church for this season for this particular purpose. That's what you were simply saying when you came together as a church and said, we believe this is God's man. So what does the Bible say about God's man? So if you found your place there, would you stand in honor of God's word as I begin reading in verse 17 of 1 Timothy chapter 5. It says there in verse 17, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and in doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox. Sorry, pastors, but those are not my words. Those are God's words, okay? You shall not muzzle the ox while he's treading out the grain. And the laborer is worthy of his wages. Verse 19, do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that there may be fear. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for your call upon all of our life that we be disciples, and that we be followers of Christ, that we be those who live our lives to live out the full compulsion of the gospel and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God in our life. But Father, we do praise you. We thank you for those who are called to serve among us as pastors and teachers, those who are leading out in our churches, those who give a vision to your purpose and what you're accomplishing, what you're desiring to do. And we pray that all this today will be done, will be said to your glory and to your honor. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You notice there that he says there in verse 17, he says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Your Bible may say something to the effect of a double recognition or a double expression of that recognition of honor. A way of thinking of that is two ways. It needs to be, we need to recognize that God has called this man, he's called his pastors to serve in the churches, and they are worthy of that calling if God has called them, but there's also been some incredible responsibilities. And I've shared this with you before, but let me say it again. Years ago, I was at a church. I'm not going to tell you where, because you may know this church, but I was at a church, and somebody came to me, and they said to me, Pastor, sort of sounded like this. Actually, he said, preacher. He said, preacher, preacher, I was here when you got here, and I'll be here when you leave, preacher. What he didn't recognize was, he didn't recognize that I was a God-called man of God. I don't get to choose and pick where I go next. I don't get to pick that. I have to go wherever it is that God calls me to go. How else did I wind up in Ohio? God called me. Now, I'm not saying anything against Ohioans, okay? I love those folks. But I'm telling you, they don't have sweet tea. Y'all know that. They do not know how to make sweet tea up in Ohio. And they don't cook their green beans. They pour a little hot water on them and call them a done. The reason I went to Ohio was because I had no choice. God was calling me to Ohio to serve on the state convention there. I would not have gone unless God called me to do it. What this gentleman didn't know was that I didn't have the benefit. Are y'all listening? I didn't have the benefit of staying in my hometown and doing whatever it is that I wanted to do in life. Y'all know my story. I actually worked for Downey's Automotive, and I was 3 weeks before I was called to ministry, Dick Downey took me out to lunch, and he said, "Hey, I want to send you to school, and I want you to be the future president of Downey's Automotive." And so I had to go back in his office 3 weeks later and said, "I have a better offer." He looked at me and he said, "There is no better offer." And I said, "Yeah, I've been called to preach." When I recognize and when I receive the call to preach, here's what that said. Steve, you cannot stay in your hometown if God's calling you to Texas. You cannot stay in your hometown if God's calling you to Ohio. You cannot stay in your hometown if God's calling you to South Carolina. Now, by not staying in my hometown, here's what happened. My kids didn't get to grow up down the street from their grandparents. Are y'all listening? My kids didn't get to grow up down the street from their great-grandparents. So there's a lot of things that take place in a minister's family that he has no choice. If he is really God's man and if he's God's call man, he goes wherever it is that God calls him to go. And so he did not realize that the God-called man of God has no choice. He cannot say no if God's calling him to a particular place. And in ignorance, he said, "Preacher, I was here when you got here, and I'll be here when you leave." I just want you to understand, we're going to get into this. The man of God is worth double honor. That's in form and in function. Not only the position, and I'm saying the simple position of pastor, the simple position of God's man, the simple position of pastor demands that we respect that office. We respect the place that God has called him to, that office, that particular position. But also it is worth double honor, not only in form, but also in function. It's worthy of that double honor. In other words, we are all members of the body of Christ, but there is a voice that is going to the pastor that God is giving him a vision for the church. The last church that I pastored, Bounty Land Baptist Church, I went there in 2001. And the chairman of the deacons came to me and he said, "Brother Steve, what's your vision for the church?" Now, I had been in ministry at that time. I had been in ministry 30 years. 30 years, or about that long, and I said to him, I said, I don't know what my vision is for the church. Now, early on in my ministry, here's what I would have done. I would have opened up a briefcase and said, "Here it is. Here's the vision for the church." But I firmly believe, Pastor Greg, are you listening? I firmly believe that even though the man of God may know the word of God, he will not really have a vision for the church until he gets to know the people of God. That's the benefit that you guys have. Pastor Greg knows you. He knows the people of God here. And so I told Brother Gary then, that he was the chairman of my deacons, I said, "Brother Gary, I don't know. I don't know what the vision is for our church yet. But in much prayer and fasting, God brought me to a vision for Bounty Land Baptist Church and gave me a vision for that." The minister of God is worthy of that double honor. Number one, because of the call. Number one, because of the call of God upon his life. Being a pastor, being a minister of the gospel, being God's man is not a vocation. And he is not a hireling. We've heard those words used in different times in our society, but the truth is, it's not like a business. It's not like a business principle. Folks, listen. That's the problem with so many of our churches. We're treating them just like a business, where the church is not a business. And folks, it's not a bank either. We're called to do ministry. We're called to serve the community in such a way that we prove that the love of Jesus Christ is for real, and we take every opportunity to share the gospel. Your pastors are not hirelings, because it's not a vocation. It's also, and I know these guys know that, I definitely know that, it's also not a vacation. Not only is it not a vocation, it's not a vacation. You're never off. You're never off your game. Even when I was on vacation, quote vacation, if something happened within the church family, I'd have to close up shop on my vacation and head back to be with my church family if it was a severe enough thing that took place. And so I was never, never off. Listen, folks, I never stopped thinking about the bride of Christ. Now, a lot of the members, in particular when I was at Bountyland and First Baptist in Spring City and First Baptist Munster, Texas, when I was pastoring those churches, I know for a fact that my members were not thinking about the church 24/7. But I could not stop thinking about the bride of Christ. I wasn't thinking about it 2 hours a week. I wasn't thinking about the church 4 hours a week. I wasn't thinking about the church 5 and 6 hours a week. I was thinking about the bride of Christ every moment that I wasn't sleeping. I was thinking about the bride of Christ. I was thinking about the church. And so it's not a vacation, it's not a vocation, you're never off. It's because of the call on his life. Number two, the reason he's worthy of that double honor is not only because of the call upon his life, but it's also because of the Word of God. Because the Word of God is too precious for us to treat it in a casual way. That's why we can't just every Sunday say, well, who's got a word from God? Let's just get everybody up here and let them share something. If you were to do that, listen, folks, if you were to say, well, let's just get somebody up here and let them just say whatever they think about the Word of God. If we were to do that, just imagine the heresy that would come from. You'd have people standing in the pulpit saying, if you'll just give me $300, I'm going to be able to buy a jet. If we let that happen, listen, you'll have purple-haired ladies whose claim to fame is that they raised a chicken from the dead when they were 14. Y'all know who I'm talking about. That just proves she's not Baptist. Baptists do not raise chickens from the dead. We cut them up and deep fry them. Amen? The reason we celebrate the call, the reason we focus on that and we recognize that this is the call of God upon a person's life that cannot be revoked, it cannot be taken away. The reason it's the call of God on a person's life is because they have the responsibility of teaching the Word of God. And you cannot let a novice do that and lead people. Look with me again in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look what it says about the qualifications of an overseer. But let's go specifically to verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6 says this. Not a novice, not someone unexperienced in diving into the Word of God. He cannot be a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. In other words, he cannot be one who is maybe a novice in the Word of God, somebody who's not experienced in the Word of God. Because the responsibility of the pastor is that he rightly divides the Word of God. Now, why is that so important? That's so important because If we do not adhere to the Word of God, and if we don't live our lives by the Word of God, then we're going to be off in every tangent, running to and fro. We're going to be blown around, as the Bible says, we're going to be blown around by every wind of doctrine. That's why the pastor's position is so critical in the life of the church and the health of the church, because of the Word of God. Look with me also, I wanted you to see in that same chapter, in that same verse, or the same verses, around the same verses. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. It says, a bishop. And these terms are somewhat interchangeable within our understanding. A person who is a pastor, a teacher. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. Most every church that I've pastored, I have also acted as the moderator in our business meetings. And my wife, on several occasions, she's come home after the business meeting, and she said something like this: Steve, how did you keep your tongue? In other words, what she was saying was, how did you not just tear into that person who said that at the business meeting? And I said, well, the Spirit of God didn't give me freedom to do that. We have the responsibility as pastors, we have the responsibility not only to be preachers of the Word of God, but in spirit, in our temperament, our very temperament needs to reflect the Word of God. And here's what I'm saying, simply, the integrity of the Word of God is going to be challenged in our society. Y'all do know that, don't you? The integrity of the Word of God, it's already being challenged in so many of our schools and in our communities, but the Word of God is going to be challenged, and the integrity of the Word of God is going to be reflected in our pastoral leaders. And I'm just simply saying, we have to have God-called men of God who will stay true to the Word of God, so that the Word of God can go forth and so that the gospel can go forth with effect. And so we honor our pastors, our teachers, because of the call. We honor them because of the Word of God. And then finally, we honor them because of eternity. Because of eternity. I believe this because of the Word of God. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that God is going to hold for this season that's coming up, for First Baptist Church, Jasper First Baptist Church, I believe that God's going to point His finger for this season of ministry. He's going to point His finger at one person, and He's going to hold him eternally responsible for the health of this congregation. If heresy is allowed to be taught in this congregation, God's not going to point His finger at anybody else but the pastor. If ministry is not accomplished and not done according to the Word of God, God's not going to be upset with anybody else other than the pastor, the senior pastor in particular, of this congregation. That's a heavy weight. If you understand the Word of God, God says, listen, they're worthy of double honor, but you need to understand they're also going to be worthy of increasing curse because they have steered aside and turned aside the people of God. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 22. How much do we have to focus and treat the Word of God with integrity, treat the Word of God with all that's due this gospel? It tells us here in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 18, for I testify to everyone who hears the word of prophecy in this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to his plagues. Are y'all listening? If Pastor Greg stands up here and adds anything to the Word of God. In other words, if he gives something that the Spirit of God has not prompted him to give, and he's jumped off of the Word of God somewhere else, then God is simply saying, I'm going to add to the plagues in your life. I'm going to heap the plagues into your life. If you stay away from the Word of God, if you treat the Word of God with a lack of integrity, if you treat the Word of God in a casual way, God says, I am going to heap plagues upon your life. That's why we treat the man of God with honor. Listen, folks, I said it last week. I'll say it forever. I would much rather be held accountable to man in the position that I have as a preacher of the gospel and as a man of God. I would much rather be held accountable to man. But I know that the accountability comes from on high, and God is going to hold me eternally responsible for the Word of God that I bring each and every Sunday morning, Sunday night. It has to be done with integrity. And I'm almost done. I love you guys. Y'all still like me? A little bit? I love you. I really do. I've had so much fun with you guys. I really have. Like I said earlier, I just love being around people. I just love being around people who love His book, and they love Jesus Christ with all their heart. That's you guys. That's why I love you guys. That's why I'm going to miss you guys. Can I come back and visit, Pastor Greg? Can I come back and visit? You promise? Okay. Y'all heard him. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 18. One final word, and then I'm done. Matthew chapter 18. Again, going back to the fact that I believe that God is going to hold the pastor eternally responsible for leading people astray. Look what it says there in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 6. He says, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, or in essence, to step away from the teachings of God's word, to step away from the integrity of God's word. Listen to this. It would have been better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. I don't know if you think that's pretty harsh, but that's pretty harsh, isn't it? Cut him some slack, God. No, it's too important. It's too important. That's why God, listen, that's why God and God's word makes much of sin. I hope you understand this. The reason the preachers today, we need to get back to the Bible, is because the Bible confronts sin in our lives. And the reason we confront sin is because God sees sin as serious. And the reason God sees sin as serious is because that was the thing, it was sin that caused him to have to send his son to die on the cross. The Bible says that he was slain before the foundation of the world. I don't like that word, slain. The word slain, as we've translated it, is too contemporary. It's actually not the way to translate that word. When it says there in Scripture that he was slain from the foundation of the world, he was a lamb sent to be slain. The word is too casual. The word is too, it's really too nice. The word really should be translated, are y'all listening? It really should be translated slaughtered. I don't know if you've ever been to a place, a meat factory, where they slaughter animals. If you have a weak stomach, do not go. I'll just tell you that. It is grotesque. Folks, what I'm telling you, when Christ died on the cross, it was grotesque. He was slaughtered. And the reason he was slaughtered was because God said, I have to deal with sin. And the man of God is the one who stands before the people, and he makes much of sin. And he preaches against sin. And he talks about sin. And he deals with sin because sin was the thing that caused Christ to be slaughtered. But that was God's purpose, and that's what he had to have happen. And so the man of God, the real man of God, is going to stand before you, and Pastor Greg will stand before you and make much of sin and talk about sin and confront sin and wage war against sin because the Bible, God's Word, speaks about the horribleness of sin. Well, we started this sermon by saying, I love your pastor, and you agreed. Here's what I want you to do. This week, I don't care if it's a meal, I don't care if it's an entire day, but here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to fast and pray for your pastor. Now, I'm going to leave that up to you, whether that's a meal or what that may look like, but I'm going to encourage every single member of this church. Now, if you're a guest today, you can join us in that, but we're not asking you. But if you're a member of this congregation, I'm going to ask you to fast and pray for your pastor this week. Understanding the incredible load that's just been placed upon Pastor Greg. All right, so I'm going to encourage you to fast and pray for your pastor. It may be a meal. It may be a day. Whatever it is, whatever the Spirit of God prompts you to do, I'm encouraging you to fast and pray for your pastor. Pastor Greg, Ms. Don, would y'all close your eyes? If you commit to praying for your pastor and fasting for your pastor, would you just nod your head yes or no? Would you do that? If you commit to doing that, will you do that? Will y'all do that? Will you pray for your pastor and fast this week? You guys can open your eyes. I want to say one final thing, and then we're done. The fact that God's Word is so precious, the fact that God's Word brings to us, through integrity, brings to us the truth of God's Word, it's too important that we have the man of God here standing each and every week preaching faithfully the Word of God. And my prayer is that you would honor him, honor the position in form and in function, honor the position that God has called him to, love on his family. Love on his family. How would you like to live in a glass house? Just think about it. How would you like to live in a glass house? But as a pastor, throughout all my 35, now almost 35 years of ministry, I understand that living in a glass house is part of the responsibility, part of the job, if you will, part of what God's called me to do, just simply so that I have the privilege of doing ministry. I don't like it, but what else can I do? The God-called man of God can't do anything else. It's what God's called him to do. So I want to encourage you to pray and fast this week for your pastor. Let's pray together. You may be here today, and maybe this is the first time you've heard about the seriousness of sin. Maybe this is the first time that you've recognized that sin is a big deal. And just in that quick illustration that I gave in talking about why the Word of God is so valuable, why the Word of God has to be preached and taught with integrity, maybe today you recognize, hey, you know what? I'm a sinner. And I have never asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord, to be my Savior. If you're here today, you say, Brother Steve, I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Brother Steve, I know I'm as sure for heaven as if I was already there. If that's you today, you are certain of your relationship with Christ, would you just lift your hand and put it right back down? Would you do that? Brother Steve, I know that I know that I know I'm headed for heaven as if I was already there. You could put your hands down. Thank you for that. If you're here today and you would simply say, hey, Brother Steve, I am uncertain about my eternity. Brother Steve, I'm uncertain about my relationship with Christ, but I sure want to know what it means to follow Jesus. Well, my dear friend, the Word of God makes it very clear that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm inviting you today, if you've never done that, I'm inviting you today to ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. to confess your sins, to ask God to forgive you of your sins, and to come to Him in faith in Jesus Christ. Pray this prayer with me. If you want to settle the issue once and for all, and you want to know Christ as your Savior, pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I do love you. And Jesus, I do believe that you came to this earth and you were slaughtered on that cross because of my sin. And I'm sorry for my sin. I know that my sin hurt you. And I'm sorry. Jesus Christ, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to be my Savior, to be my boss, to be the head of my life. I'm asking you right now to be my Savior, my Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, my dear friend, if today you prayed that prayer, would you just simply raise your hand? If you prayed that prayer, I want to pray for you and I want to continue to pray for you. But if you prayed that prayer today, would you just simply raise your hand and put it right back down? Would you do that? Today I prayed that prayer. I meant that prayer. God bless you. In just a moment, Pastor Greg's going to be standing here and we're going to be standing in just a moment to sing our hymn of invitation. If today you've settled that issue once and for all, I'm inviting you to come. Or maybe today you want to rededicate your life to Christ and to His bride, the church. Or maybe today this is the church that God's called you to join. You're coming in from a different church, a different community, but this is obviously where God has asked you to join. We invite you in just a moment to come forward and let that decision be known. Take Pastor Greg by the hand and share with him the decision that God has brought you to as a family or as an individual. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the pastors that you have called to serve Jasper First Baptist Church. Father, we pray for them, pray for their families, pray for all that they, week in and week out, that they're dealing with. I pray for strength. I pray for emotional health and stability. I pray for a spiritual growth as they've never experienced before. And I pray that the health of Jasper First Baptist Church will be seen as the pastor preaches faithfully the Word of God. You promised to honor that, and we know that you will. And we give you praise for all, even today, all the decisions that have been made, even today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as we begin to sing the hymn of invitation. Pastor Greg is here to receive you. If today you made a decision, whatever that may be, or maybe you just want to come and pray at the altar, we invite you to come as we stand together and as we sing. You come.